It's great to be with all of you. We find ourselves in today's culture very much divided. Today's first reading, but also the gospel, speaks of unity. Unity and the bond of peace. And I think it's important for all of us to fight for unity. Just think of a married couple. If one thinks I'm the one who's in union, the other one is not, well, then it's going to start breaking down. Both have to fight for unity. And that requires humility. The beauty of what we do today in celebrating the Holy Liturgy is that we come together united. And throughout the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we humbly admit our fault. And I think that is the first part for unity. And we have to fight for it. It's super important. Why? Because God is one. And we, the church, are to communicate by our existence. We are to be an image of God in the world. And so we must fight for unity. And so there are saints throughout the history of the church. That is one aspect of which the church highlights as an important part of their role in building up the body of Christ and communicating the kingdom of God, and that is their continued efforts and fighting for unity within the church. So certainly Saint Ignatius of Antioch is probably one of the first and most famous, popular of the saints. But there are many others who exhausted themselves, especially bishops, who exhausted themselves going about their diocese fighting for unity. So I'm just going to read a little reflection from this book called Divine Intimacy. If you have already read it, I am sorry. You get to listen to it yet again. The author says, "Very often the cause of division among good people is excessive self-assertion, the desire to do things one's own way. Given our limitations, there can be nothing so absolute in our ideas that it cannot give way to the ideas of others. If our ideas are good, upright, and brilliant, those of others may be equally good or even better. Therefore, it is much wiser, more humble, and charitable to accept the views of others and to try to reconcile our views with theirs, rather than to reject them, lest we be obliged to give up our personal ways and views. This individualism is the enemy of union. It is a hindrance to good works as well to spiritual progress." In today's epistle, St. Paul puts before us all the reasons why we should preserve union with our neighbor. "Be one body and one spirit as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. If God has willed to save and sanctify us all in Christ, uniting us in Him in one body, giving us one same vocation, one faith, and one hope, and being Himself the Father of all, how shall we pretend to save and sanctify ourselves if we are not united with one another? If we do not wish to frustrate God's plan and endanger our salvation and sanctification, we should be ready to make any personal sacrifice whatsoever in order to maintain and strengthen union. Let us bear in mind that Jesus has asked for us not only union, but perfect union, that they may be made perfect in one. Today's gospel also strengthens this exhortation to union, since in it Jesus repeats that the commandment to love our neighbor is together with the commandment to love God, the basis of the whole law, and that is all of Christianity. Let us not turn a deaf ear to these repeated appeals for charity and union. The church insists on these points because Jesus has insisted on them, and because charity is the precept of the Lord. If this only is done, it is enough. And so I just invite you to reflect today on how we are called to fight for unity, certainly within the smaller domestic church, within our own families, within maybe our own marriages, amongst siblings, peers, friends, but also in the wider context of the church, our culture, and our society. Because with the division that is going on in today's culture, we all play a part in that division. But we also can play a part in the unity that we are called to by the very fact that we profess one God, one Father, one Lord of all.